Take your Bible, turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I want to talk to you this morning about your part in the local New Testament church. We believe in the local church, the local community church. And so did the apostles, and so did our Lord Jesus Christ. And the local church was established to encourage and build up believers in a particular community. We're thinking now about, well, we live in Jefferson City, but we don't all live in Jefferson City. And so from all the different communities around here, we come from these different areas, and we live in several different counties. If I did a poll this morning, we'd find that we're from all different backgrounds, and now we live in all different places. But for the most part, what we're saying here is we live in central Missouri. And so God has laid upon your heart to be in this building this morning, to be participating as a part of this worship service, and that's part of it. And then to some of you, God has laid upon your heart that this is your home church. This is where you belong. You've placed your church membership here, and you feel like this is where God wants you to be. God wants you to be serving. And you understand that being a part of a local New Testament church is far more than just having your name on the church roll. And the Word of God tells us and uses the word ecclesia when it's talking about the church. The word ecclesia means an assembly or a group of people that is called out. And this morning we've sung a lot about the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. And so that's how you became a part of a local New Testament church. That's how you became a part of the body of Christ. You heard the voice of God calling to you. And He called out to you. And so it's like in the old days, there would be a town crier that would go around in a community, and he would call out people that were to come together to be a part of a body that would make decisions, a decision-making body. And that's where we get the word ecclesia, a called out assembly. Well, I want to tell you that there was a time in my life when I heard the voice of God. It was a very distinct voice. And I knew what God was saying to me. To me, it was not a Yanny versus Laurel type situation. I knew He was speaking to me distinctly. And He was calling me by name. And it was Monty Schenkel, come on out. And so He called me out, and He called me into the body of Christ in general, but He planted me in a local New Testament church in particular where I could be fed and nurtured and grow, and I could serve the Lord through that church. And we can say this morning because we know that it's true that everybody is somebody in the body, and God has a place for everybody in a local New Testament church where they need to be and be serving the Lord. He draws us together in an assembly. Now, along with the local New Testament church, we've had denominations that have arisen. But as in the case of the Southern Baptist Convention does not tell the local congregation what to do. Every local New Testament Southern Baptist church is autonomous in that we hold our own property, we elect our own leaders, we conduct our own business, and so as the church we come together from time to time and we make decisions. But there's no one from up above, I'm talking about on a denominational level, telling us what we as a local congregation have to do. Because the church, the local New Testament church, at least in our denomination, is the main thing. Nothing is higher than the local New Testament congregation. We are above the denomination in terms of our structure. Then there are those parts of the church that are called parachurch organizations. That means that they're not a local church, but they say they come alongside the local church. And sometimes that would be like Campus Crusade for Christ, which is called Crew now, or it might be Young Life that has a ministry like that, or it may be the Fellowship of Christian Athletes that has a ministry like that. It doesn't necessarily come out of a local congregation. It is to come alongside a local congregation and to help. But generally speaking, the reason that organizations like that must exist is because that somewhere along the way, the church has failed. The local New Testament church has failed to fulfill its obligation and do what it ought to be doing. So when we look at local New Testament churches, we see that they've got a lot of different forms of origin. They've got a lot of different ideas about how the church ought to operate. Some churches have a membership role. Some churches don't have a membership role. Some churches call their pastor pastor. Some of them call him preacher. Some of them call him brother. Some of them call him reverend. Some of them have deacons. Some of them have elders. They're all different ideas about that. But my point to you this morning is this. Everybody needs to be a part of a local New Testament church. And so it is so important that when, and Betty and I and our family has been growing, and we're thankful for these grandbabies that are arriving, so you wait for a grandbaby to arrive. And I got to hold one of them in my arms for just a little while this week, little Obadiah. And so when I'm holding little Obadiah in my arms, and Jonathan even commented on how I address a little boy when I'm holding him, different than when I address a little girl and I'm holding her. I think the reason he made that statement was, I said, hand the little booger to me. That's what you do when you got boys, you know. He's only a month old, but to me, you little booger, you. Well, can you say booger to pulpit? I guess I just did. Well, you know, it's just the idea that now they're part of our family. And you don't wait for 9 months for a baby to arrive in your family and you say, okay, now you just go make it on your own. Because a child is not going to make it on their own. A baby's not going to make it on their own. And so I think sometimes a person comes to know Jesus Christ, and if there's no one to step alongside of them and disciple them, and there's no place where they can go for protection and to have their name affiliated with another group of people where somebody's going to wrap their arms around and love them, I'm just saying that everybody needs to be a part of a local New Testament church. And the truth is that God has designed you. When you come to know Jesus Christ, He's done something special in your life. And He has designed you so you fit into the local body, the local church, the local New Testament church. And really, that's what I want to talk about this morning. Look with me in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to do a honest, sober evaluation of himself, of herself. Not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, here's where I'm going with this. We have many members in one body. And all members in that body do not have the same, King James Version says, office. The word could be translated responsibility. So we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same responsibility. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be pure, sincere. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Everybody is somebody in the body of Christ. And I fully believe that God wants every believer, and I believe with all of my heart, on the authority of God's Word, that God wants every believer to be a part of a local New Testament church. And when you read about the church, the 114 times I think the word church is used in the New Testament, over 90% of those times it's not referring to a mystical body out there somewhere. It's talking about the church that is at Ephesus, the church that is at Corinth, the church that was in Berea, the church that was at Jerusalem. So it is referring to a local New Testament church. And we have many members, but we have one body. We have many members in this congregation, but we are one body together as a local New Testament congregation. We've heard it said that really when you talk about the church, you're talking more about a bunch of grapes than you are a bag of marbles. Marbles just kind of bounce off of each other. They're very independent of each other. And you can play a good game of marbles if you've got a bag of marbles, but that's not exactly how a church operates. The church is more like a bunch of grapes. And when we get squeezed together, what are we doing? We're doing, I haven't heard this for 2 or 3 weeks, but we're doing life together. We get squeezed together. We mingle life together. Every person that becomes a part of Concord Baptist Church, we offer this class. We, in fact, insist on this class, our Welcome to Concord class. We talk at length about 4 things involved in being a member of this church. One is that we want you to attend. We want you to come to worship. We want you to come to sing the songs of Zion with us. We want you to come as we open God's Word, we preach, and we pray. We want you to get involved in the body life of this congregation. You need a small group that you can connect with. You need to be involved in a Sunday school class. That's part of it. Then we ask you to do this, that when you leave this building on Sunday morning, you live your life in such a way that you're bringing glory to God and you're not embarrassing your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a part of it. And then we ask for your stewardship. We do say this every Sunday morning. The Bible teaches that we believe that God honors it, tithing, but the only way that we can do what we do and advance the gospel around the world and in our community is through the responsible giving, the stewardship of God's people. And then we ask you to be a witness. Oh, that every one of us would pick up that missionary mandate to speak to people about their need for Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, "You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." And this community is our Jerusalem. And it sometimes sounds like it's easier to take the gospel to Cambodia or to Mexico than it is to take it across the street. But we ask these 4 things. If you're going to become a part of this church, then be involved in the body life by worshiping together with us, being involved in a small group. We ask you to simply live your life for the glory of God when you walk outside this building so that you don't bring an embarrassment upon the body of Christ and you bear the name of Jesus Christ with honor. We ask you to be faithful in your stewardship and we ask you to be faithful in witness, and that's just 4 things that we say that if you want to be a part of this local New Testament church, we are not ashamed to ask for those things. But I look at this text this morning, and I want you to think with me, first of all, about the picture of a body. Picture of a body. The picture that Paul gives us is that the church is like a body. Look in verses 4 and 5. He says, "We have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Now you say, "Preacher, that's a little bit confusing. I'm not sure I understand that." Well, turn over to the next chapter, the next book in the Bible, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me show you something else here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you're turning there. He said this. He said, "We have many members, one body." One body, many members. Think of your own body. You have these digits attached to your hand. You have these hands attached to your body. You have these forearms and upper arms and elbows and shoulder blades. You have, I started to say hair, but can't really say that. You have eyes. You have ears. And every part of your body is a part of the body. Everything attached to you is a part of the body. But listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, who were in great trouble, by the way, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, he says, "By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body was an eye, how would you hear? If the whole was an ear, how would you smell? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. God designed your body. God made it the way that he wanted to make it. And if we're all one member, then you'd just have one member. It wouldn't be a body. But now there are many members, and one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No more those bodies, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And so for the years they said, you don't need an appendix. And then occasionally somebody come along and say, well, that appendix was made for some reason, and it's not just the evolutionary cycle that everything is just kind of drying up. Your body was made for a reason. You got parts in your body that you don't know why they operate. You took a class in biology, or you took a class in anatomy somewhere along the way. When it's all said and done, you still didn't know how everything fit together. But the Bible is telling us this. Paul is saying, trust me, there's not one part of your body that is not needed. So if God gives Concord Baptist Church 2,400 members in one body, does it mean that there is one of those 2,400 members that is not needed? And we can just amputate that. We can just cut that off. And I say that because some of you are thinking, you're not needed. Your presence is not needed. Your involvement is not needed. And yet you're a part of this body. Now what Paul has said in Romans chapter 12, and again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and what he said again in Ephesians chapter 4, is that you bring all the different parts of the body together. They've not been placed here by accident. They're here on purpose. God has something for everybody to do. The picture that he gives us here is the picture of a body. Now I want you to think about a second thing, and that is your place in the body. What we're speaking of is where God has placed us in his body. Now, how does he do this? Well, I tell you three things. He graces us, and then he gifts us, and he guides us. Our salvation is by grace through faith, not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God gives us his grace by which we are saved, and he calls us out. That's that ecclesia, that is this called out assembly. So he graces you, and he saves your soul. By one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. When you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit at that time. You say, Brother Mike, that sounds awful Pentecostal. No, it sounds awful biblical. Because that's exactly what God's Word says. When you became a Christian, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit, and you were given a gift of grace. A gift of grace. God who graced you also gifted you. And when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the charismata, we're talking about the gifts of grace. And God has given to everybody a gift of grace. He changes you. He puts you in his family. You become a part of a local church. By the Holy Spirit, you're baptized into his body. You're plunged into. Now you are a part of his body. You are a brand new creation. At the point that you became a new creation, God gave you a spiritual gift. Here's the definition of a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the context of the body. Let me read it again. A spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the context of the body. Now, everybody has a talent. How many of you are talented people? I see your hands. If you're talented, let everyone think soberly, not over-evaluating yourself. But if you have a talent, raise your hand. Would y'all just stop it? Don't go humble on me. Yeah, I think when a person is born, a child is born, that child is, people say, well, I just don't have any talent at all. Yeah, you do. This bunch gets up here and sings in the choir. They got talent. America's got talent. Isn't that right? And so this bunch up here and these folks that play all these instruments, you think they've got talent? And some of them may say, no. We had a son that took trombone lessons for quite a while. He was in the marching band when we lived in Washington, and he never got any better as a trombonist. Never got any better. We'd hear him up in his room, and he's just playing that trombone away, and he's running through all those scales. It's like, oh, man, is he never going to get any better? And he just kept practicing. And I'm thinking, Nathan, you know, you got to give it. It was years before we found out that he had made a taped recording of the scales. He'd go in his room and he'd play that thing. His parents thought he was practicing, and he grew up to become a member of the Highway Patrol. Everybody's got talent. America's got talent. But even if you say you don't have any talent whatsoever, if you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He, on the promise of God's Word, gives you a spiritual gift. Now, I'm going to illustrate this morning, and I want you to understand this. You have a spiritual gift. You are a gifted child. A talent is one thing. A talent may be something you say, well, he's talented, he's born with it. But no, when it comes to serving the Lord, there's something else. It's called a spiritual gift. God gives to the church. He gives to you a spiritual gift for you to use in the context of the local New Testament church. And the Bible lists in this passage, in Romans chapter 12, seven spiritual gifts. But I've heard listed as many as 27 spiritual gifts that come out of the New Testament. And people say, these are all gifts that fit together in the body. Sometimes it's like the list that's given in Ephesians chapter 4. And there are different lists given in God's Word, which talks about apostles. God gave the gift of, gave apostles to the church. And He gave prophets to the church. And He gave evangelists to the church. And He gave pastor teachers to the church. And so you've got that. In those cases, that case, He's giving an individual to the church. But in the list that is given here in Romans chapter 12, I am firmly convinced that every one of you has at least one of these gifts. Every one of them. So let's look at the gifts. Look with me, if you would, in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. In other words, if he's given you the gift of ministry, which is the gift of serving, then get on with it. He says, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we get this idea. God has designed everything like a body, and He's placed us in the body, and He's given us gifts in the body. So how does the body practice? What is the practice of the body? He gives us these seven gifts. He puts them in a local church. And so look over this list. Which one do you have? Wouldn't you like to know? And some of you know right off the bat. You look at a list of gifts that are right here, and you think, okay, is speaking the truth part of it? Is serving others a part of it? Is teaching a part of it? Is encouraging a part of it? Is giving a part of it? Is organizing a part of it? Is showing mercy on someone a part of it? You take all of these seven gifts, you take these seven gifts, and you put them in any local New Testament church, and you know what you have? You have a functioning church. Here's an illustration. Tonight, we're going to have a picnic, and it may be like a Days of Noah picnic. I don't know. We may have an ark there. I don't know. But we're going to have a picnic. We're going to Memorial Park. We're going to have a picnic. So let's just say that somebody is responsible for bringing the Kool-Aid. Chris, you're going to be responsible for bringing the Kool-Aid. So Chris comes in, and he's got this great big pitcher full of Kool-Aid, and Chris being Chris, as soon as he comes in the pavilion down there, he drops it. So we've just got Kool-Aid everywhere, okay? Now this is how seven gifts come into practice. There's someone with the gift of organization, ruling, that jumps up immediately and says, you get the mop, you get some rags, somebody needs to go get some water so we can get this thing cleaned up. They don't think about it. They just jump up and they say that. Here's someone that has the gift of serving. that automatically they're looking for something to clean it up with. That's just how they do it. They find a mess, they clean it up. They've got the gift of serving. They don't worry about it being a menial task or anything. They're ready to get down in the mess to clean it up. Here's somebody with the gift of prophecy, and they say to Chris, "When I saw you come around the corner carrying that Kool-Aid the way you were carrying it, I knew you were going to drop it." Because that person with the gift of prophecy, they just kind of, they are often very abrupt. I mean, there have been lots of studies done on all these spiritual gifts. I just tell you, a person with the gift of prophecy, I heard Dr. Charles Stanley say that every church has at least one person, maybe two people with the gift of prophecy in it, and you're fortunate if you don't have more than two. So here's someone with the gift of prophecy, and they immediately begin to tell Chris the things that he did wrong. But here's come someone with the gift of encouragement. And they put their arm around Chris's shoulder, and they begin to tell him, "Chris, you know, bless your heart. This happened to me one time, and I dropped Kool-Aid, and I made a terrible mess one time, and I know exactly how you feel, and you just need to cheer up." And here comes somebody with the gift of teaching, and they'd say, "You know, Chris, if you would hold it this way from now on, and, you know, if you would just be careful of your step, and, you know, you need to put both hands on it, and you need to hold it in such a way." And here comes somebody with the gift of giving. They say, "Here's $5, go buy some more Kool-Aid." Now, that's a very simplistic way of putting it, but in the local New Testament church, that's very much the way that it functions. It's, Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say that it's like we are to be supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. It's not because you take a survey and you find that you have these spiritual gifts that you begin to fit in the body of Christ. You begin to fit in the body of Christ the moment you come to know Christ, and as time goes along, these gifts are going to be revealed. And often it's going to be the very thing that you enjoy doing, because God has put that in your heart to do it. Now, in the church, and here's the final thing this morning, because we're running out of time, there's the power of the body. There's the power of the body. Now, how does that work? If you think about the church being like a cannon, and the New Testament church, the local New Testament church, has a cannon barrel, and the ball that goes in that cannon barrel is a spiritual gift, and the gunpowder in that cannon barrel to be touched off is the work of, is the Holy Spirit. So when a church is focused the right direction, headed the right direction, and people in it serving and using their spiritual gifts like that cannonball, and the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon it, there's a great explosion that takes place, but there's also a lot of profit that takes place. So you find what you're supposed to do. Everybody's somebody in the body. Everybody has a spiritual gift. Everybody's been placed there for a reason. I can only imagine what 2,400 cannonballs placed down the barrel of the cannon of Concord would do if the Holy Spirit were to get a hold of us as a congregation, and an explosion would take place. You say, does God do things like that anymore? God wants to do things like that. He's looking for people that will make themselves available. We have one member. We have one body. We have many members. Everybody in this congregation, everybody in this building this morning has a place in the body of Christ. Everyone is somebody in the body. God has a purpose for you. And you need to find your place and go to work. Is it a ministry of serving? This morning, the reason we can have doing things decently in order is probably because we got a bunch of people that are serving over there in the nursery and preschool area. They're pouring their lives into kids. That's a ministry of service. Is it a ministry of teaching? We're constantly looking for people that are willing to step up to the plate and open God's Word and say, this is how it needs to take place. This is what God can do in your life. I guarantee you we need people that are encouragers to others across the whole realm of this congregation. We must have those kind of folks. In every case, God places in the body exactly what that local New Testament church needs. And you are needed in this body of the church. Now I want to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning. Perhaps there's not ever been a time when you have trusted Christ as your Savior and the power of the Holy Spirit has come into you and you've been called out. You've been called, that ecclesia, called out of that old life and called into a new life. And by one Spirit, you've been baptized into the local New Testament church. And if you've never obeyed the Lord in that, you've not followed Him, then I encourage you this morning to obey Him as He speaks to you. You may say, well, I'm a believer and I know Jesus and I've been saved, and you may even say I've been baptized, but you do not have a church home. Maybe you've just moved to this area, or you've been here a long time, or maybe you've attended here enough and you say, well, this is my church home. Then we need for you, my friend, to step up to the plate and say, yes, I know that God has gifted me, and it's time that I took my place in the body of Christ, and I became a part of this congregation, and I began to serve the Lord. We encourage you to do that. We invite you to do that. Maybe you have been blessed of the Lord with a spiritual gift, and you've ignored it for so long, and you just feel like that you need to come get on your knees at this altar this morning to say, Lord Jesus, I present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto you. I want to begin to serve you, Lord. Would you guide me and direct me and channel me in the right direction? Begin to follow the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us spiritual gifts. We thank you that you have a place for us in this body. We pray, Lord, that as a church, looking to the future, that the power of the Holy Spirit would rest upon us and that we would follow you. And great would be the ministry to people because of folks that are willing to say, here I am, Lord, I'm yours. I give myself to you and I want to serve you. May that be all the way across this congregation. We find our place in the body of Christ and begin to serve you. This I pray today in Jesus' name, amen.